Here in Isaiah chapter 55, let's read here, and we want to deal with two things here, and we'll see what those are. I'll let you know what those are here. In Isaiah 55, verse number 1, Isaiah 55, verse 1, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." Sounds like a free lunch, doesn't it? Sounds like it's free, isn't it? That's what it's saying, no price. "Good things at no price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread?" Okay, it gains no sustenance for you. "And your labor, the work of your brow, the work of your hands, for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." Because what's here and what's free is just great. It tastes great, and it'll fill you up, and it'll help you, and it'll bless you. "Incline your ear," verse 3, "and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live." An indication that if you don't, your soul won't live. "And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people." Speaking about David, speaking about another, the Lord Jesus Christ. "Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One," that's Jesus Christ, "of Israel. For he hath glorified thee," the blessing of the Lord. What's that talking about, those first five verses? Isn't that talking about the blessing of the Lord and salvation? I mean, in redemption, in the freeness of salvation, and that it's yielding one to what God says, one yielding to what God says. He still goes on here and says in verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." It's made even more clear. Repentance and faith in the Lord, I believe. Then the Lord says here, and this is what we want to focus upon. He speaks about the freeness of salvation, the freeness of the feeding of God. I remember, can't help but think there in John chapter 6 where the Lord says, "You got to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood." We need him. Him. He's not talking about eating his body and drinking his blood. He still goes on in that chapter in John 6 to say that the words that he's speaking are spirit and are life. We need the Lord for the salvation of our souls worse than our bodies need food. And our bodies need food pretty bad, don't they? We need to partake of the Lord. And he says here in verse 8, he's talked to them about the freeness. He says, come to the waters in verse 1. You don't have any money, go ahead and come anyway. Buy, you don't have any money, eat. Okay, don't worry about that. Come and eat, come buy. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. It's free. It's free. He talks to him there about that freeness. He talks there about, I believe, about salvation. He talks about seeking the Lord. He talks about repentance. He talks about the mercy of God. And listen to what he says here in verse 8. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." Because the Lord's saying, I'm not doing this the way man would think to do it. Who wants to give of their goods and give it away for free? But God does. The Lord does. He's merciful. He said it as much. "My thoughts are not your thoughts." A great contrast between the two. "Neither are your ways my ways." This isn't the way a man would do it, but this is the way I'm doing it, saith the Lord. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So just understand that right off the bat. The thinking of God is way beyond the thinking of mankind. And as the rain, verse 10, "For as the rain cometh down," Very apropos for today, isn't it? We've got this rainy day. When I got up this morning, I saw the rain and knew about the message. You know, it's like, wow. You know, we might find it easy to complain about the rain, but understand that may the Lord help us going forward. And I ask the Lord to help me in this as I go forward and consider the rain, that I remember this contrast or this comparison that the Lord gives. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. This rain that's fallen today, even though there's not any seed in the ground presently other than this wheat that has popped up around, okay? But this water is going into the ground and it'll be used to sustain that which is upon the earth and growing, but it'll be there. This very water that's fallen today could very well be the Lord would keep it around to take and work upon that seed that's going to be planted in the spring. And just how that is, he says, for as the rain cometh down, the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and bringeth it, maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It'll just be like this rain. And it may come down and it may supply that which has need today or in the coming week, or it may be months. But so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Amen. The word of the Lord. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Take a look over here. The Lord, the word of God is like the rain. And the rain falls, it does something, doesn't it? One way or another, it does something. When it rains or when it snows, and then it goes into the earth and it does whatever that it does, and then in time it evaporates and goes back up into the system and back into the clouds. And every trip it makes, it accomplishes something, doesn't it? The Lord says, my word's the same way. Amen. My word is exactly the same way as that. And it goes out and it will accomplish that which the Lord purposes it to accomplish. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, we'll go to verse number 3. And he humbled thee, that is the Lord speaking to Israel, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. You didn't know about manna before, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know this provision of manna, the sustaining of the children of Israel, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but rather man lives by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. What we want to take a look at this morning is two things the word of God accomplishes. The Lord said there in Isaiah 55:11, but it, that is his word, shall accomplish that which I please. I want to take a look at two things that the word of the Lord accomplishes. Brother Doug, lead us in a word of prayer, please.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. You bless us with the Lord, and thank you for replenishing the earth, Lord, with the water that helps crops grow, Lord, and just helps all around, Lord. Thank you for it. Thank you for Brother Jim and his family, Lord, for bringing them here, Lord, and give him the wisdom and strength to give the message today, Lord, and give us that are hearing, Lord, the open heart we might receive that message, Lord. Lord, thank you for all the blessings you bless us with, Lord. There's many out there, too many for us to even count, Lord. Just thank you for each and every one. Thank you for the fellowship we had Friday night, Lord.
Amen.
It was a great time, Lord, and your presence felt. And thank you for those meetings, Lord, and sister churches we have.
Yes.
Lord, please use your word today just to open a heart, if you would, Lord, just to show someone here that doesn't know you as a personal Savior, Lord, that you came and died and bled for them, Lord, that you just open their heart and show them the need of you. Lord, there's one and one way only for salvation, Lord, and it's through you. Lord, be with each and every one of us as we travel back to our homes today, Lord, and thank you for the safe travel we have here. Yes. Be with our missionaries that are abroad, Lord, especially Brother James. Just be with him and help him and give him strength and wisdom and show him where he needs to go over in Western Australia, Lord, just help him that move. Lord, be with Sister Sid, her health. Just help her if you would, that she might be a good help to Brother James over there, Lord, and just help in that situation. We know her need, Lord. We know you can heal if you want to, Lord, to do your will. Lord, be with those here of our church membership here that are sick and ailing, Lord. You help each one of those. You know every case. Be especially Brother Nicky, Lord, if you just help him. Help his pain, Lord, and just work a miracle there, Lord,
yes.
If you can. Please be with Brother Jim as he can give the message, Lord, today and this afternoon. Please forgive him my many sins. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Two things that the Word of God accomplishes. Two things that the Word of the Lord accomplishes. Take a look here at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Here, this passage reveals in a concise way these two things that we want to consider here about the Word of the Lord and what it does accomplish. The Lord says, it won't go out without accomplishing that which I please. It won't return void. It'll go out. Just like every drop of water, every snowflake that falls, it does something. And the scheme and design of God upon the way that this earth works and that, it does something. So is the Lord's Word that very same way. It does not go out void. It doesn't return to Him void, but it accomplishes that which He pleases. And in this passage here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we see a revealing of how that is. And the apostle speaking to the church there at Corinth, and he's speaking how it is with us. As we go out with the word of the Lord, with the message of the gospel, with the word of God, when we go out with it, there are two things that happen. And these are the things that we want to take a look and focus on this morning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 14, now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest, shown forth, right? That's what manifest means, the revealing of, the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. Savor is like a taste, okay? The next time I get invited to Brother Jerry's house to have one of them porterhouse steaks, it'll be a great savor. Boy, that's a low way to get an invitation, isn't it, brother? But that favorite food that you've got, it's a savor, isn't it? We have different things. And so there's a savor, there's a taste. Yeah. Have you heard that expression? That left a bad taste in my mouth. Was it talking about some lady's food that she made? No, it's not talking about that. It's talking about whatever was presented to you, maybe you didn't care for, left a bad taste in your mouth, the way that thing went, or what was said, or whatever was done. Well, that's the reference here, this savor. He says, and maketh manifest, it shows forth the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. There's a taste that's being left. Everywhere the Apostle Paul goes, everywhere the children of God go, bearing the Word of God, there's a savor that is left and is manifested there. Let's read it again. Now, thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest, shows forth the savor of His knowledge, what He has shown us and given to us by us in every place. Verse 15, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. Now God, the Father, if you will, and being saved and being His children, we're in our obedience and our service of Him, the rescue, the salvation of our souls, we're a sweet savor to Him. The Lord enjoys His children. He enjoys His saints. He loves us so. He loves us so very much, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. We are the children of God. And the Lord loves us. He cares for us. He enjoys us. Especially as we serve Him and we're obedient to Him and a witness of Him. He says, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. So this working of the knowledge, the Word of God in us, and as we go forth with that, it's a sweet savor of God. And also to those that are saved, those that are rescued, don't you love, I love to tell the story? Don't you love to hear the story? More wonderful it seems each time I tell it, more wonderfully sweet. Gets better and better, doesn't it? The more we hear about the account of the Lord and what he's done for us, right? To them that are saved and in them that perish. Two things that the Word of God accomplishes. It goes out, and as we go out, as we are witnesses and live for the Lord. Verse 16, to the one we are the savor of death unto death. To those that are without Christ, the savor that's left is, and us presenting the gospel, is that in the condition that they are in, they are dead. And if they go out into eternity spiritually dead, they will die that second death. And they will die twice. Physical death, spiritual death. Because what we preach is that men are sinners, and without the Lord as Savior, they will go out into eternity and die forever in hell in the lake of fire. We are a savor of death unto death. That's the thing that's left there till the Lord works in them. To the one, we are a savor of death unto death. And to the other, the savor of life unto life. Yes, I believe too. Yes, I have the Lord as my Savior. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it great? Praise God, we're brothers or sisters in Christ. The Lord has saved our souls, and we rejoice. Don't you rejoice when you meet a brother or sister in Christ that you've not met before? Isn't it great? I find it a wonder how we can go and to go visit to different churches and meet brothers and sisters in Christ that we've never met before, but we got the instant fellowship in the Lord. And don't know them, don't have any background with them, but because of the Lord having saved our souls, it's sweet, isn't it? Amen. We enjoy that. That's what the Lord has done. And that's what it is saying here. To the one, we are the savor of death unto death. And to the other, a savor of life unto life. And, he says, he's humbled by this. The apostle is. He's humbled by this. And he says, and who is sufficient or worthy for these things? Am I worthy to be used of the Lord this way? But praise God, that's his design.
Amen.
That we go forth with the Word. And there's one of two things that the Word of God accomplishes in that. It goes on and says in verse number 17, for we not, are not as many, and here's the tie-in to the bearing of the Word of God. He makes it evident and plain here. For we not, are not as many which corrupt the Word of God. Are we? I pray God we're not. We don't need to be corruptors of the Word of God. He says, but I want to be truthful in the Word of God. I want to be right. I want to be right and truthful, sincere, take the Word of God and carry the Word of God the way God wants it carried. That this be manifested correctly. For we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Bring the truth of the Word of God to sinners and those that are dead in trespasses and sins, in that state, with that message, it is a savor of death unto death. But those that are saved, it's a savor of life unto life.
Amen.
Great distinction there, isn't it? And so this passage, I believe, shows us and reveals to us what these two things that the Word of God accomplishes. First, the Word of God accomplishes the judgment of sinners. The Word of God accomplishes the judgment of sinners. We're taking the whole work of the Word of God, and we're just going to boil it down to the two basic things. The first thing is the judgment of sinners. Revelation chapter 20. You know this passage. I trust it's very familiar to you. It'll be there. It'll be this way as it's indicated here in the Scripture. And look closely and consider closely what the Scripture says. In verse number 11 of Revelation chapter 20, verse number 11, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, and from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Who's that? That's Jesus Christ sitting upon the throne, isn't it? It's him. He's there. This is the judgment of the damned. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, doesn't matter what their station in life upon the earth was, if they were without Christ, they're there. Small and great, stand before God. And look what it says here. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. What are those other books? Well, as it says and indicates in Malachi, it could be the books of remembrance. We're going to see how these are used. But I believe also what will be manifested there and what will be shown there in those books is the Word of God. The Bible. The Scripture. The message of God from eternity to mankind. That's going to be there. And I think we have an indication from that that we're going to take a look at here soon. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And listen to what it says. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So their works are brought up, and then they're judged. They're compared to what the books say. What the books say. What the books say. What the books say. And what's it go on? The scripture goes on to say, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Out of the books. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The word of God in the end will accomplish the judgment of sinners. It shows the condemnation of sin and of God upon sinners that are without Christ. But in the end, one of the things that the Word of God will accomplish is the judgment of sinners. Turn over to John chapter 12. Turn over to John chapter 12. Let's take a look here. A reaffirmation or a confirmation of this that the Lord gives in advance about the judgment. And the Word of God being there. Two things. The Lord says the Word of God, like the rain goes out, and it accomplishes what I want it to accomplish. So the word of God goes out and it accomplishes that which I please, that which I send it into. And John chapter 12, verse number 44, listen to what it says. And Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if a man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." The Lord came the first time as Savior. And he uttered the words that he uttered. And he says, if those words are not believed and not received, then one will stand in judgment before him. And listen to what he says here. "And he that rejecteth me," verse 48, "and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that last day." Brothers and sisters, lost sinner and friend, that's the reason the books are there. Because in the books is written the Word of God. Amen. And the Lord says, though your works at the great white throne judgment of God, the works of men and women will be compared up to the books, and they'll be found lacking. They'll be found wanting. The word that the angel of God, Jesus Christ, has spoken will be that by which sinners are judged. The Word of God. One of the things that the Word of God accomplishes. He goes on here and says, let's read verse 48. "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment that I what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting." Where do you find life? In the Word of God. What's one of the names of Jesus Christ? The Word of God. Why? Because he's the fulfillment of what's been spoken. He gave it.
Amen.
The Father, if you will, gave it in Christ. And Jesus Christ is a fulfillment of every bit of the Word of God. He said, I didn't come to destroy the law. He said, I came to fulfill it. It tells about him, and it was fulfilled by him. It is all about him, and he is the Word. He says, I'm not spoken of myself, verse 49, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. And here we see it's God Almighty, the Trinity, working in the affairs of the Word. Two things that the Word of God accomplishes. One is that the Word of God accomplishes the judgment of sinners. Number two is found here in James chapter 1. Let's take a look over here. James chapter 1. The second thing that the Word of God accomplishes is found here. James chapter 1, we pick it up in verse number 17. James 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You disagree with that? If it's good, it's from God. Amen? It is. It is. He is the giver of good, blessed, wonderful things. Verse 18, of his own will, what he wanted to do, begat he us, how? With the word of truth. Now, that's what it says, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because God says that his word's going to be like the rain. And it's going to go out. And his word may go out. And it very well may harden sinners' hearts. You know people like that. Maybe before the Lord saved you, you were that way. Word of God came. I don't want any of that. Don't need any of that. And you were hardening your heart. Praise God that he moved and worked to soften our hearts with that same word. Amen? Because that's what happens. But those that go out into eternity, as we saw before, with a continued and a hardened heart in this life and go out of this life without the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, they will meet that word in the end. And it will judge them. But here, the working of God is mercy, and the working of God of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of a first fruits of his creatures. Here, it's the word of God that God uses to save sinners. The word of God accomplishes the judgment of sinners, but also the word of God accomplishes the salvation of sinners, doesn't it? It's by the word of God, like the rain. The rain. Isn't it something how you have my mom and dad's house there where they dug up all the sewer lines and replaced and everything. There's a pile of dirt that's there outside their house about a foot tall. You know what? The rain will work on that, and the rain will work on that, and the rain will work on that. And you know what? In about 3, 4, 5, 6 months, you won't even be able to tell that it was even dug up there. Just by the rain and the heat and the cold. And then you know what will happen? The grass will start growing. And grow grass there on the side of a wall. The grass will grow, and you won't even be able to tell it's being dug up. That's the way the Word of God works. Praise God for it. Amen.
Amen.
It softens us. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, you know this. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, how? By the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Not hearing with the ear. Hearing with the soul. Faith comes by hearing. Spiritually hearing.
Amen.
And how's hearing come? By the Word of God. The Word of God. That working, that dripping, that falling, that running down of the Word of God. The other thing that the Word of God accomplishes is the salvation of sinners. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's take a look over here. 1 Peter chapter 1. Oh, the power of God's Word. The Lord honors his Word. Without his word, there would be no salvation. Why? There'd be no knowledge. There'd be no knowledge of the need. There'd be no knowledge of the how. There'd be no knowledge of the working of God. But by his word, we know we have need, and we know what the need or who the need is. We need Christ, and we understand how he accomplished it. By his death, and by his burial, by his resurrection on the cross of Calvary for the forgiveness of sinners' sins. 1 Peter chapter 1, we pick it up in verse number 23. It says here, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Remember Isaiah 55? How the water works on the seed and brings bread to the eater and seed to the sower. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. How? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away. That's the way it is with us. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. What's that second thing that's accomplished by the word of God? The salvation of sinners. Oh, the praise the Lord for his word. The truth that goes out, that came, that he brought unto us and came unto us by his work and his ministry, and Lord, and how he has revealed himself to us, our need, through his word. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Take a look here. In John chapter 14. One of the apostles is asking the Lord how he's going to manifest himself unto them and unto the world. The Lord says he's going to be manifested. He's going to be shown as a Savior. In John chapter 14, verse number 23, and Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Saved child of God, isn't it good? Is there anything better than God living with you, in you? There's nothing better, is there? Nothing better. Oh, that's where true blessedness is. That's where blessedness is having been touched by God. And to know that the Spirit of God, one of the Trinity, lives within me. How can that be? But God has worked it. God has done it. And he says here, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And he will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. The whole Jesus-only crowd stand in great jeopardy and offending God Almighty. Because the God Almighty is a package deal. You receive the Son, you receive the Father because he sent him. You receive the Father, you receive his Son, because he is sent of the Father. And the Spirit of God is there moving and working in that great purpose and plan and ministry of God and cannot be denied. The great three in one. Is this talking about a work salvation? No. It's not talking about keeping the Ten Commandments. It's talking about hearing and believing what the Lord says. Listen, you're here and not saved. The Word of God says you're a sinner. You got nothing you can offer to God. There's nothing he wants that you have. You're guilty. You're condemned already. And what God Almighty tells you to do, what his Word tells you, the Father says, believe in my Son whom I have sent. Repent. Trust in him. The Son says, believe in me Because I've been sent of the Father as Savior. I'm the only one sent by which you can have forgiveness of your sins. Repent and believe the gospel. That was the message that Jesus came preaching, is repent and believe the gospel. Two things that are accomplished by the word of God, the judgment of sinners and the salvation of sinners. Therefore, if you will, what is it that we are to do with the word of God? Just a few things here. What are we to do with the word of God? If we understand and see that there's two things that are accomplished by the word of God, and here we are living on this dirt ball with the life that God has given us, what are we to do with the word of God in the meantime? We got a life, it's a vapor, it's a handbreadth, right? What are we to do with the word of God while we're here? Well, let's take a look real quick and see. Five things we are to do and remember about the word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1. If we understand and know that there's two things that are accomplished by the word of God, then what are we to do with the word of God? 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. What's it say? Wherefore unto ye do well that ye take heed. If God's spoken it, pay attention to it. Don't put it off. Take heed is likened to hearken. Hear it, receive it, believe it, and act upon it if there's something to be done. But believe it. As James says, be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. But if the Lord says jump, you ask how high. If the Lord says move, move. If the Lord says stand, stand. If the Lord says obey him, we are to obey him. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, because that's the way the word of God is, isn't it? We live in a dark place on this earth with sin, depravity, and wickedness abounding. It's the word of God that shines until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. I believe that's that. Indeed, that receiving, that taking heed of the word of God, that being convicted that we should not just hear it, but obey it and put it to work in our lives. For understand this, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. It wasn't us that did it. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's where the word of God came from. It came from God through men. And you know what? And do every one of us here this morning to do well to take heed to it.
Amen.
Don't take the word of God and think it's nothing.
Right.
The word of God's going to stand at the last day.
Amen.
It's going to stand at the last day. First thing we should do with the word of God that we want to look at and consider, that we should take heed to it. James chapter 1 alluded to this. James chapter 1. We've already read here. We'll go ahead and read what we've read earlier. In James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. That's how we were birthed again, that we should be kind of the first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. Be quick about hearing. But watch it about talking, Jim. It's talking to me. I need to listen more than I talk. I need to hear what God is saying more than running my mouth. So that when I do speak, it'll be according to what God has said. You know what? That's what we are. That's what we are in this world. We that the Lord has saved, we're repeaters. We're repeaters. You know what a repeater is? Anybody that ever worked? Well, in networking, a repeater takes a signal and sends it on, doesn't it? It doesn't conjure up the signal itself, does it? A repeater in amateur radio or in ham radio, a repeater is set up in a location to receive a signal from way over here, and this repeater is set up on the edge of it so it can take the signal and send it farther. Telephone companies use repeaters. Back in the day of microwave communication and such as that. They'd take the signal from over here. It couldn't reach plumb over here, so they'd put a repeater here. It'd get it and then send it on. That's what you and I are. We're repeaters of God's word.
Amen.
We need to take it, believe it, receive it, and send it on. He says here, Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and abundance and superfluity. That's what that word superfluity means, abundance of naughtiness. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. What should we do with the word of God? We should receive it. We should heed it. And we should, secondly, receive it. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. What should we do with the word of God? Well, there's, besides heeding it and receiving it, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, this passage is familiar, I trust. For the word of God is quick, means it's alive. It's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God will cut you like a knife, coming and going. That double-edged sword, it'll cut going up, it'll cut going down. It'll cut going to the left, it'll cut going to the right. It tells us the truth about us.
Amen.
And you know what we need to do? It says here, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. Is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open into the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The third thing that we're to do with the word of God is we're to submit to its power. We're to submit to it. Amen. To yield. To not say that my word and what I think and what I want to do and what I say is greater than the word of God, but I'm to submit to what God says. Right. It's the truth. What he has said, his word is the plummet line of truth, as Isaiah speaks about. We're to heed the word of God, receive the word of God. And Luke chapter 8, you remember this. Luke chapter 8, the parable of the sower. The Lord gave an analogy that the rain is like his word. His word is like the rain. The rain is like his word. Here in the parable of the sower, what is it that we see? In Luke chapter 8, I trust you know the parable. In verse number 11, simply, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. What do we need to be doing with the word of God? Spreading it. Amen. Spreading it, spreading it, spreading it. In any way that we can spread it. If you can think of another way to take the word of God and spread it, brothers and sisters, we need to be spreading it.
Amen.
We need to be spreading it. Because it's by the word of God that sinners are going to be judged. And it's by the word of God that sinners are going to be quickened and made alive.
Amen.
We need to understand that. I need to get a better hold on that than I've had. That word of God, if we'll take it, and we'll get it out of the storehouse and just send it out there. God will take it and he'll use it some way. And we'll have the blessing of being used by the Lord to take it and be spreading it. May God help us. May the Lord help us to see that. One thing that we need to be doing with the word of God, not only heeding it, not only receiving it, not only submitting to it, yielding to its power, but we need to spread it. We need to spread it like the Lord indicated in this parable. There's no condemnation in the parable for the seed being spread upon the pathway, is there? Is it? Don't waste that seed that way. Don't be throwing it over there on the road. Nothing like that, is there? Don't be throwing that seed over there in the rocks. Don't be throwing that seed over there in the thorns. There's no condemnation for that, is there? But the seed was strown. Strow that seed. Strow that word.
Amen.
May the Lord help us as a church that we get a hold of that and see how more we can take that word and we can spread it. Somehow, pray that God will give us wisdom and insight about how we can take that word and spread it. Because it'll be a blessing for us in it. Indeed, we need to spread the word of God. And then in Luke chapter 21, take a look over here. What do we need to do with the word of God, or concerning the word of God? This is what I'm preaching to myself, brothers and sisters. I'm preaching to myself. In Luke chapter 21, we need to remember this about the Word of God. Verse 33. Two things that the Word of God will accomplish, the judgment of sinners and the salvation of sinners. We need to take the Word of God and we need to heed it. We need to receive it. We need to submit to its power and yield unto it. We need to spread it. And we need to remember this, brothers and sisters. Luke 21, 33. You that are here and not saved, you need to know this and know that this is so too. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away.
Amen.
Amen. The Word of God isn't going away. Ever.
Amen.
Ain't going away ever. You know what? This whole body, it's going to go away. These pews, this carpet, this building, that dirt outside, your car outside, all the stuff you got at home, all that's going away. But the Word of God, it's going to abide forever. And the Word of God is going to accomplish two basic things. And we need to take the Word of God and we need to cleave to it, hang on to it, believe it, heed it, yield to it, spread it, and remember the promise that it's going to stay, that it's going to stay.